This is Arsene Wenger. Welcome to FIFA Training Center.
You're listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Training Center podcast. Throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, we've been taking you inside the game with the technical study group, analyzing every match in Qatar. And now the tournament has entered the quarterfinals. The drama continues to increase. The final whistle has blown between Netherlands and Argentina. So let's get back in the car to see what our experts made of the game.
Okay, well, we're just back in the car on the way back to the hotel from the Lusail Stadium, where I guess we can only really describe it as a fairly scintillating game. Argentina and Netherlands drawing 2-2 after extra time, and the game eventually going to penalties with Argentina winning on spot kicks. And I'm joined in the car by Farid Mondragon, Sunday Olesay, Mr. Alberto Zaccaroni, Elliot Stanell, and I'm Lisa Fallon. Alberto, there's so much happened in that game, but can you even try to sum up Argentina's performance?
L'Argentina, secondo me,
well, Argentina, they had a very good outing. They did not more concentrated. They did not play very deep, and they went up well.
Hanno fatto un blocco basso.
They did a low block with Fernandez in front of them, and they were very much aggressive when they tried to get the ball back. When you're talking about the offensive phase, they used much of the right side of the pitch to go forward. That worked well for them, and the moment they took the lead, they tried to close up the central points, and that's what they did.
Concedendo.
Well, then they only conceded, or they gave away the wings, allowing crosses to come in, because they were superior in negotiating that department.
Yeah. Secondo tempo in difficoltà.
Well, they had difficulties in the second half, and it's mainly defensive phase, mainly due to this fact that there was a substitution of Romero, who went out.
E subito dopo
Holland. Then Holland brought in a tall striker, and that made it difficult for him.
E lì,
and then they had difficulties negotiating aerial balls.
And Sunday, you were focusing on the Netherlands, and we really did see a much more direct approach from them when Weghorst came on. His height presence really made a difference in the box, and they obviously put Virgil van Dijk up there as well to try and chase out the game. When you look at the overall performance of the Netherlands, how can you sum it up?
I can sum it up that they did something very interesting. They played on paper, it looked like a 3-4-3 system, but in reality, it was more 5-2-3 system, or we can call it that. In reality, what they did was that they had the playmaker in the first half, especially, was made out to be De Jong, who was coming very deep to pick up the balls, and they were very static when they did not have the ball. Defensively, what I found very, very interesting, I could give it a curve, I could call it. They played the zonal man versus man. That was in the sense that they stood in their zones. Anybody who came in that zone, they followed him. Even when he left that zone to another zone, they did not pass on the players. It was like the waiting, you come in here, okay, I follow you to the end. And they did that all through. But the end result was it made them static. They were very static by ball possession. But what I found interesting was that when they had the ball, the two fullbacks, who were in part of the five block of behind, they went very high to the point that you might think of them as wingers. And then the three strikers who were in front kind of like squeezed in together. So at times they even had almost five on the line in front going up there. That made them very static. In the second half, he brought in some changes. The first changes he brought in were two players that came in that were coming out deep to receive the ball as strikers. And the two fullbacks were still going up front, so the two strikers were coming down to receive the ball, and then they could play more. And then all of a sudden, they had more of the game, but they were trailing by 2-0. The bringing in of Berghorst and De Jong, Luke De Jong, where two players were over 190, then they started just playing long balls and eventually pushed up Van Dijk up. And Otamendi started struggling. The central defense of the Argentina started struggling. But I feel the Argentines stopped playing. At 2-0, they stopped playing, became deep, And then when tall players are there and you're deep, then you're going to be cut off with a header or something like that.
And it was a real momentum shift in the game. You could sense it, that the momentum really had gone with the Netherlands, and that kind of carried into extra time, but then it swung back and you were starting to see Argentina creating big chances, missing them, hitting the post. And it was really, I mean, the psychology of extra time was enormous, wasn't it?
Yeah, what was also very curious to look at was that when it got to the extra time, the Argentines stopped playing at 2-0, conceded 2-2, very tail end. I think it was about the last action of the second half when they conceded 2-2. But when the extra time started, the Argentines now started playing again. They started having players running to space. They having bodies ahead of the ball. They started having movements, change of interchanging of positions, creativity coming in, trying to attack. And the Dutch, I had the feeling, they started going back. But there is something I must say. I'm going to give you three words. Messi, Messi, Messi. It's unbelievable because the whole tournament, he's a genius, let's face it. The whole tournament is kind of like played like as if he was in gear one. You had a feeling sometimes, hey, come on, stop walking, you have to move. But today from the beginning, we saw a difference. He came out, he wanted to win this game. And you saw the first goal, an assist from him. The second goal, he stuck the penalty himself. This player just made the difference. And look, what can I say?
Yeah, he was sensational. But one of the other things that probably was a sensational moment again was that free kick from the Netherlands. Just the creativity, the ingenuity of it. It really wasn't expected. Weghorst again, the height of him, but they played it in short into his feet, and he got around the wall. Even Farid, if I bring you in on this, from a goalkeeping perspective, you know, it really was unexpected, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a very, very entertaining game. Full of tactical context from both sides. Goalkeeper wise, I think Emi Martinez and Nopper did their job in the 180 minutes. No chance at the goals. It was a game typical of this part of the tournament, with a lot of good quality goals, unexpected, especially the two from Netherlands, in some lack of concentration from Argentina, but nothing to do for Emi Martinez. And the goal from Argentina, I think the first one is an unbelievable pass from Messi, 1v1 from Noppert against Molina, and nothing to do. And second, obviously, a PK taken from Messi in a magistral way. And then it comes to the penalty shootouts, where both of the goalkeepers were preceded in a very, very prestigious way. Noppert with 2 meters, three centimeters, is almost 6'8", 6'9". And Emi Martinez, who has showed not only in Aston Villa, but in Copa America last year, that he is very, very good at penalties. And the first two penalties, the one he stopped from Van Dijk and then the one he stopped for Bergis, I think it's a full stretch. I'm watching now some pictures of this save, and I can only say for everyone who is listening to this podcast, go and see these pictures. And if you are a goalkeeper trainer or if you are a goalie by yourself, you have to show the girls and the boys who want to be goalkeepers how this is the way that you have to dive and stretch fully to stop not only a PK but any kind of ball. So very, very emotional, lots of adrenaline, lots of suspense also until the last second. But I think Argentina had the advantage in the penalty shootouts with Emi Martinez on goal.
Yeah, it really was the type of game that you just couldn't take your eyes off. From a data perspective, Elliot, was there anything there that jumped out and that you couldn't take your eyes off?
Yeah, well, we definitely saw a shift in Argentina's playing style this game. They've been averaging 56% possession in previous games, and that dropped to 39%. Maybe that could be due to the back five that they employed. We saw an increase in their low block state from 12% in the tournament to 20% in this game. and an increase in their transitional phases from 4% up to 17%. So to me, that suggests a real intentional change of game plan. And just touching on Sunday's love for a Messi in this game, 48 receptions, 14 units broken, one assist, one goal, and just from a defensive side, which very, very rarely gets spoken about, 52 pressures and 9 forced turnovers in this game. So that was one of the highest for any Argentinian player.
I'm sorry, I have to laugh, but it is so impressive. It is so impressive to see Messi defending in the way he did. This man wants to win this World Cup.
For sure, for sure. It was that type of game. Alberto, is there anything else you want to add?
Well, I think he wants to add that one of the other things that made a difference also were the changes that the Argentines made and the players that he brought in. That made a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a game, like I said, end to end. Couldn't take our eyes off it. And hopefully some more of the same as the tournament progresses. So much so, in fact, the game had so much that we've actually reached the hotel even before we finished the podcast. So, listen, my thanks to Farid Mondragon, Sunday Olisay, Alberto Zaccheroni and Elliot Stanell. And we will talk to you again very soon.
You've been listening to FIFA Insight Live, a Highway 61 production for FIFA Training Center. For more information and insights throughout the 2022 FIFA World Cup, visit fifatrainingcenter.com.